We're going to go to the book of Genesis. Let's go to the book of beginnings. The Hebrew name for this first book of the Bible is those three words, in the beginning. And that's what Genesis means. We're going to read some verses from the first chapter, and then the second chapter, and then the fifth chapter. Chapter 1 of Genesis, verses 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And take note of this phrase, male and female created he them. Male and female. And then in chapter 2, in verse 18, the Lord tells us again about the creation of man. And down in verse 18, he says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good." Have you ever noticed that of all the things he made, there's only one thing not good? He says to us in chapter 1 again and again, "And he saw this, and it was good. He saw this, it was good." Chapter 1, verse 31, when God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But chapter 2, verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And then verse 20 in this chapter, "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And then look with me, please, here in chapter 4 and let's go to chapter 5. We'll go to chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is the book of the generations of Adam. "In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created." In our studies this month on the family, what does God say about the family? We need to keep always in mind that the Lord designed and created all of the parts of the family and brought those parts together. This was no evolutionary mistake. This was no accident of genetics. But the Lord designed man to be who he was, and woman to be who she was, and brought them together and made their name Adam. This is the Adam family. The family named after Adam. That's the surname of this family. We're interested in that. On the 6th, which is two Sundays ago, on Sunday evening, I spoke with the people who gathered that evening on the role God assigned to Adam. Because when the Lord created man, he created them male and female. And God assigned gender-specific roles for each. God did not design Adam to be able to bear children. No matter what you see in the news these days, when people say that a man can bear a child, God designed Eve to bear children. God designed Adam to be a worker. And we notice that in chapter 2 in Genesis, that the Lord put Adam in the garden to till, to keep, to dress the garden. And we talked about the three kinds of work that men have to do. And the first was the work of his hands in dressing the garden, in tilling the ground, in keeping the garden. That was the work of his hands. That same day the Lord set him in the garden, the Lord also gave him the task that we would call the work of his head. He had work for his hands and work for his head. Now, all of us fellows say that the first one is easier than the second one. Using our heads is rather difficult for many of us. Now, you guys that are really cluey, have mercy on the rest of us and help us, would you please? But he had to name all the animals on that day. And in doing so, he discerned that there was no helper among the animals suitable for him. No help meet, help suitable for him. That was the work of his head. And then when the Lord brought to him Eve, his wife, made from his rib, that was the work of his heart to build and maintain and repair and sustain relationship with his wife. You fellows, I hope you will all say amen with me that the work of the hands is easier than the work of the head, which is easier than the work of the heart. And I don't know whether you're going to say amen or oh me. I remember being in churches where the preacher was preaching and someone would say, oh me. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the gender role that God gave to woman when he created her. Now, ladies, don't draw out your pistol or get the pin out of the hand grenade, because Pastor is very kind to women. I want to tell you that I believe we are really blessed at Grace Baptist Church to have many of the daughters of Sarah. That's how godly women are described in 1 Peter chapter 3, that they are like Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and she has many good qualities. I thank the Lord that I believe here at Grace Baptist Church, we have women that fit right into Proverbs chapter 31, which is the description of the virtuous woman. And I'm really thankful for that. I mean that sincerely. I have to tell you that I have met daughters of Jezebel. But I'm thankful she's there. Her daughters are not here, as far as I know. Trust that's the case. If you're a daughter of Jezebel, there are other churches you should go to. All right. Forgive me. God designed and assigned a role for woman. And I want you to read with me in the scriptures this morning Eve's job description. Now, that's a bit primitive. I'm not intending to be crude. I'm just saying that whatever the Lord says about men, men ought to accept and say, well, that's the way it is. The designer created me to be this way. He wired me this way. He designed me. He assigned me a certain role. That's the way it is. That's who I'm going to be. With God's help, that's who I will be. And then women reading the Bible, and they see, wow, the Lord designed us, you ladies, designed the women to be this way. He equipped us to be this way. He inclined us to be this way. He wired us to be this way. With God's help, that's who we will be. I hope you will embrace that. I hope you'll take that to heart. Lady said to her pastor, she said, I do not appreciate you telling stories from the pulpit about guns and about you going hunting. She said, I think guns are terrible things and you should never tell people that. What are children going to think if they hear pastor talking about guns? And before pastor could reply, her little boy ran into the room with a teddy bear stuck under his arm and a leg sticking out going, well, he got it somewhere. I don't know where he got it. But I want to tell you, God did wire us certain ways, didn't he? I always think it's great for a little boy to be on the floor going with a toy Jeep going like this. And I always think it's great for a little girl to have a doll that she's rocking like this. How do you feel about that? That's part of God assigning us gender roles. Why do I say that? Well, look in chapter 2, verses 18 and 20, because in these verses, we are told that God's plan for the woman, I'm going to call her Eve, that's fine. God's plan was for Eve to be a helper suitable to her husband. The word help is the word azer. And I looked to see if there was a word, a Hebrew word, for the word meet. And there is none there in the text. Go and look in your concordance for yourself, and you'll find that the word help means someone that is a companion, someone that is complementary, someone that dovetails with the person they're a helper to. I thought about drawing on the whiteboard this morning a couple that were one flesh. They were so close together, and then in between them draw a jigsaw puzzle line, because God puts us together. Other than salvation, the best thing the Lord ever did for Buddy Smith was bring Susan into my life. I tell you sincerely, it's true. I need to remind her of that often so that she doesn't have any doubts. But God assigned Eve the role of being an help meet. And that's what it says in verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found anyone suitable for him, an help suitable, a companion for him. There was no one among all of the animals. He did not find one. And then we want to think about how God assigned Eve the role of being a part of her man. And we want to really think about this. I know there is so much swapping and changing, and the world is so mixed up, and the morals of Hollywood have infiltrated our home through the flickering blue babysitter on the wall, and it's just a shame to see how the morality of Christian homes has changed. But God's plan was for Eve to be a part of man. In verse 22 of chapter 2, it says here that in, let's read verse 21, and the Lord caused, then Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So here, taking from Adam a part of his body. Many of the old preachers, 500 years and more ago, longer ago than that, far longer ago than that, said that the Lord did not take a bone from the foot for Adam to walk on Eve, did not take a bone from the head for her to lord over him, took a bone from his side, close to his heart, and from that bone, from the rib, made a wife for Adam and brought her to the man. He could have made, God could have made her out of dust as he did men, but he chose to make Eve out of Adam. There's an important truth in that she is part of him. She is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Her closeness to her husband. I'm going to tell you a family secret this morning. Susan will deal with me later. But I'm going to tell you a family secret, but I need to ask you a question first. You guys, be honest now. Does your wife ever cry? Anybody have a wife that cries anytime? So you take such good care of her that she never has to cry. Okay, well, that's really good. I'm using Brother Floyd's terminology here. But if your wife ever cries, do you hold her close so she can cry on you? Do her tears wet your shoulder? Do her tears drench your bosom? Because husbands and wives are to be that close together. This is what we have with woman, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, her closeness to her husband. How many of you fellows have had the privilege of going into the delivery room at the hospital when your wife was bearing your child, yours and your wife's child, and being there with her while she's going through the pains of childbirth, and her holding your hand and clenching your hand so that you are together that's God's plan. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And then I want you to understand what we read in chapter 3. Look in chapter 3, because following the fall of man, when Adam chose to disobey, knowingly disobey the commandment of God, the scripture tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that Eve was deceived, that the serpent tricked her. But Adam was not tricked. Adam walked into the temptation and willfully disobeyed God. And following that, we read in chapter 3 and verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. The mother of all living. Here is a description of what women are to be. Now, I understand that there are husbands and wives who have no children. And by the hand of God, God's choice, that's what he has chosen for you. We do not look down on people who suffer that. Neither do we exalt anyone that has 25 kids. But we're just saying that God's plan originally was that the Lord brought together husband and wife to bear children. We understand that, people. All of you understand that. I thought it was really interesting some years ago. It hasn't been all that long, that scientists who were studying DNA, and you've all seen the twisted ladder-looking chain, you've seen that, and you understand something about DNA, and you probably understand more than I do. If you have a medical background, you understand a lot more than I do. But they came to the conclusion that there was one woman who was the mother of the entire human race. And they called her, lightheartedly probably, men who are not believers, not creationists, they called her the mitochondrial Eve. And they saw her as being the woman who was the first mother of all human beings that ever lived. We know her name. We know who she is. She's Eve. The Bible tells us about her. That's God's plan. Adam understood her to be the mother of all living. I think it was Robert Carter, I think his name is, who said this: the fact that there is but a single female ancestor is one of the basic constraints of our model, creation model. Actually, this is one of our major working hypotheses. God could have front-loaded Eve's ovaries with multiple mitochondrial lines, but this seems unlikely at this point. When we discovered that there was a single ancestress in the recent past, all of us creationists said, bingo. We knew about that. We read it in the Bible. God created Eve to be the mother of the whole human race and Adam to be the father. We understand that. We read it in God's Word. But I want you to look with me in chapter 3. And verse 15, I think it is. Let's see here. I want to tell you right. Yes, chapter 3 and verse 15. The Lord says to Eve here, we want to go down to verse 16 it is. Unto the woman, he said, the Lord said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So the Lord speaks specifically to Eve here and says to her, you're going to have children, and it's going to be painful, and there's going to be lots of them. We think that the entire human race sprung from Adam and Eve, and then their sons and daughters. And if you want to talk to me about how their sons and daughters could marry a son, marry a daughter, without there being inbreeding, come and talk to me after. It's more than we can cover this morning. We don't want to go too far off track here. But that the entire human race sprung from Adam and Eve, and through their children, you and I are all related. And then I want you to notice something else. You'll notice there in verse 15, when the Lord is speaking to the serpent, he says, and I will put enmity between thee. And of course, we know that was the devil talking and working through the serpent. Between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, which is the devil's offspring, and her seed is the offspring of the woman, particularly the woman. It shall bruise thy head, the woman's seed shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The woman's seed, the woman's offspring. Does not say Adam and Eve's offspring. He says the woman's offspring, the seed of the woman. And we take that to be the virgin-born Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit and birthed. We talk about the virgin birth. The birth was probably a normal birth, but it was the virgin conception, conceived in the womb of Mary, and the Lord did that, and that's the woman's seed. Can you hold on to that? Can you grip that, grasp that and hang on to that? Because when we come to chapter 4 and verse 1, it tells us that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and their firstborn, and bare Cain and said, we take it that Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And a number of Bible commentators say that they wonder if Eve said, not understanding fully, did she say at this point, this is the woman's seed. This is what the Lord said in chapter 3. This is what he said, that I would have offspring. Not realizing the Lord was talking about a virgin-born son. But she saw that her great opportunity, her great responsibility was to bring into the world children who would have children, who would have children, who would have children. We were living in Rockhampton 25, 30 years ago, more than that, and we bumped into a school teacher and his wife from America on a boat ride out to Keppel Island. We got to talking with them. They said, we said to them, where are you staying? Oh, they said, we haven't got a place yet. I said, come stay with us in Rockhampton. And so they came home with us. And another school teacher and his wife came home with us, two couples. And they said, if you ever get back to the States, come and visit us. So I did. I was traveling by myself, and they lived in Ohio, and I went to see them, stayed the night with them. And I said, do you have any children? They said, we don't want to have children. I said, you don't want to have children? Why not? Why wouldn't you want to have children? Oh, we think that if we had children, our love for each other would be decreased. I almost laughed. I said, it doesn't work that way. It works the opposite. Because you have children, you love each other more. And God's plan originally was for Adam and Eve to have children. So I know that the Lord can say no for whatever cause and not give us children at times. We understand that. You only have to read the book of 1 Samuel to find that Hannah, who was married to Elkanah, who was a wonderful husband, had no children until she cried out to God, and God heard and gave her a son whose name was Samuel. We understand. But the job description so often includes having children. And we need to understand this and grasp this. Young ladies, I'm not going to look over here at you. Okay, I'm going to go like this. Young ladies, if there's any out there, I'm not going to look at you this morning and embarrass you. But when you consider the prospect of your adult years, of being grown up, you need to say within yourself, the original pattern was marriage and having children, being the mother of children, being helpmeet to my husband. That's God's pattern. This is the plan. This is the manufacturer's manual for wives and for husbands. This is what God says. He wrote it down. It's right. I want to get in on it. And that should be our approach. I hope that is your approach. But I want to talk to you for a couple of minutes about a further truth that is part of her role. Her role in our world, the role of the woman in our world, is not the same as the man's role. His role is to work with his hands, his head, and his heart. Her role has to do with relationships. It has to do with culturing, well, cultivating, with building. and maintaining and repairing relationships. Now that word relationship's a pretty big word, isn't it? But her awareness, her interests, her focus, her abilities, her skills are all tied to relationships. You see this in the scripture. The word relate means, in the simplest analysis, connected by blood or marriage. I'm related to them. I'm related to them. God designed woman to have a sensitivity and awareness of how people are tied to each other. My wife is so much more sensitive to how people are connected together than I am. I admit that. I want to get my hands dirty. I want to work. I want to make things. I want to do things. She wants to work on how people relate to each other. Is your wife that way? I'll bet she is. It's the natural thing God put in a woman. In the back of her mind all the time are her parents and her grandparents and her sisters and her brothers and her children and her grandchildren and the 32nd cousin you never heard of. It's always there. It's always happening. Or you ladies sing, "That's the way it is. That's the way I think." Her neighbors are often on her mind and on her heart. Wherever you find woman, you will find her beginning and establishing and building and maintaining and repairing the ties between people. That's what they do. That's how they're designed. That's how they're wired. It's a great thing. I'd love to get Brother Floyd aside and ask him, you have a lot of ladies that work at Jubilee. Are they strong on relationships? And Brother Floyd would say, "Brother Buddy, you have no idea how strong they are about building and repairing and maintaining relationships. We hope there aren't any that are working on breaking that sort of thing." But you know, did you know you see this in that beautiful picture painted at the end of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. In fact, turn there. And I want to call your attention. I wish we could read from verse 10 down to verse 31. I think it is in Proverbs 31. I didn't put all the verses in my notes. But here in the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter, we have that beautiful description of the virtuous woman. And we may not notice it at first reading, but there's verse after verse that talk to us about the way women are wired to build relationships. Look in chapter 31 in Proverbs, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? I'm going to say it this way. Who can find the ideal woman? God's perfect plan. For her price is far above rubies. And then the next verse says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Why? Because she's so good at repairing and maintaining relationships. So that he shall have no need of spoil. I say to Susan, I don't need any money. I've got you. My wife keeps things running smoothly if I don't mess things up too bad. She does things so well in our house. And then in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Because she's so good at relationships. In verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. Everybody in the house she feeds, and a portion to her maidens, whether it's the husband and children or the ones who serve in the household. In verse 21, it says she's not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. It's quality things to take care of her family. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. There's such diligence, such faithfulness that she's taking care of everybody in the house. And then our favorite verse, I think, in the whole section was verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Why? Because she's always working on building and maintaining and repairing relationships. We memorize this passage in family devotions from verse 10 down to verse 31. We memorized this years ago. And our Jeremy, who is altogether too much like his father, our Jeremy, when we got to this verse, we would be quoting it, her children to rise up and call her, and we didn't get any further, but what he would yell out, blessed, like that. He would say it so loud. And so, of course, his sisters caught the affliction too, and it got to where it was pretty loud around our house when we read that verse, especially when we got to blessed, her husband also. And I had to say praiseth really loud then. But, oh, I want to tell you that it's what God designed woman to do. Now, in conclusion, her role blesses her home and her family. She is often God's means for bringing her husband to salvation through Christ. That's what 1 Peter chapter 3, the first few verses are all about. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That's part of relationship. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, the daily conduct, the attitudes and the actions and the speech. And all of those things, the emotions, may be won by the conversation of the wives while they behold your chaste conversation, your pure behavior coupled with fear or reverence. Who's adorning? Wives, your beauty is not that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing the gold, of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The wife also strengthens her husband in his role. And that's why it is, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. A tremendous amount of pressure comes on women in the workforce oftentimes. When there's a man in the workplace that is more attractive or more productive or more intelligent than her husband, and the Lord says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, not to somebody else's husband, to your own husband, as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Brother James preached to us about this last Sunday, and he is the Savior of the body. Christ is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, husbands, so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. And then the wife has another way. She's a blessing to the home. She trains her children to fill their roles. To be wise, to be saved, to serve God. I really love these verses. Listen to this. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Dads, we need to teach our sons, teach our children. But we often miss the last of that verse where it says, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Did you know that mom is supposed to lay down the law at times? Moms, you good at laying down the law for your kids? Part of building relationships. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Twice we have that verse telling us, listen to your mother. Children, listen to your mother. She wants to teach you how to build relationships. Timothy is such a good example to us. Paul writes to Timothy and mentioned it twice in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and chapter 3. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, no hypocrisy in the faith that's in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. In chapter 3, Paul says to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How did Timothy know the Holy Scriptures from a child? He memorized the Scriptures his mother and his grandmother read to him and taught him. Our kids don't get it always right, do they? Jeremy used to say about Psalm 8, verse 1, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. He used to get it wrong and say, out of the mouths of babes and ducklings. Well, it wasn't ducklings, was it? We never roused on him too hard about that because he was getting it, and he got it. And it is so vital for the parents to be the chief instructors of their children. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So this is God's plan. Ladies, I expect that probably virtually every one of you has already said, I want God's pattern for womanhood in my life. That's who I want to be. I'm not interested in the flash Sheila here or there. I'm not interested in Hollywood actresses that have the faces of angels and the morals of alley cats. I don't want to be like that. I want to be a daughter of Sarah. I want to be like God's biblical pattern. And my old nature doesn't go easy with that. And I'm going to have the Lord help me. And he's going to have to train me. And he's going to have to untrain me on some things that I've learned before. Ladies, take that on. Embrace it and say, this is where blessing is. This is how you have godly children and godly grandchildren and great-grandchildren. This is how you get them, by God's pattern. It's wisdom for every little girl, every teenage girl, every woman to aim at the bullseye, which is what God gives us here. Live with your own handicap and your imperfections, but aim for perfection as God gives it to us in the Word. We pray for this, Heavenly Father. We need to hear about these things. Husbands need to hear what God has planned for us and embrace it and love it. And say, Lord, make me a man. I don't want to be a little boy when I'm 50 years old. I want to be a man, a godly man. Help me to lead my family. And Lord, we pray the same for the wives, for the mothers, for the women in our congregation, for the young ladies, that they'll set their sights high and seek help from heaven to be the godly mother and woman that you want them to be. Please work in our midst, O Lord. We believe our whole world is falling apart right now. It's crashing and burning everywhere. But you do raise up a banner against them when the enemy comes in like a flood. And we pray for that in our homes. We pray that you'll help us to be godly parents. Help us to train our children to be like the Lord's pattern. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.